The Food and Drug Administration announced last week plans to ban menthol in cigarettes and cigars, effectively taking them off the market. In the past, tobacco companies have advertised menthol products to specific populations, including African Americans. Advocates say this has increased health disparities in Black communities. Canada successfully banned menthols. We're talking about whether the United States could do the same. Our guests are committed to tobacco prevention and are here to break down what impact a menthol ban could have on Wisconsin communities. And we want to hear from you at 800-642-1234. Smokers, how do you use menthol products? Would you support a ban? Maybe you started smoking with menthol products. What does this make you think of? Call 800-642-1234 or you can email ideas@WPR.org. Lorraine Lathan is founder and president of Jump at the Sun Consultants. That's an organization that administers the Wisconsin African American Tobacco Prevention and Poverty Network. Lorraine, welcome to Central Time.
Thank you for having me.
And Megan Piper is an associate professor in the University of Wisconsin Department of Medicine and the associate director of research at the UW Center for Tobacco Research and Intervention. She's got a PhD in clinical psychology, and she's the president of the Society for Research on Nicotine and Tobacco. Megan, thank you for joining us again here on the Ideas Network.
Thanks so much for having me.
Megan, let's start and look at the big picture. What effect could a menthol ban have on public health?
The hope that this menthol ban brings to public health is huge. The reason that this ban has such great potential is not only because it will eliminate the product that the vast majority of young people start smoking with, but it also has the promise to really help reduce the racial differences, the racial inequities that we see in smoking rates and deaths due to smoking.
And Lorraine, how do you see a menthol ban helping Wisconsin communities?
Well, we're thrilled with the fact that the Biden administration is moving in that direction. In the state of Wisconsin, we know that tobacco is an unequal killer, that actually the adult smoking rate for African Americans in our state is nearly double that of the general population. So we smoke at about 26%, whereas the general population is smoking at about 16%. So we look at this as an opportunity to save lives. Each and every year, 45,000 African Americans die as a result of tobacco.
People talk about cigarettes, Lorraine, as a choice, although we also recognize it's an addiction. So how do you respond to people who say, well, maybe more Black people smoke more? Why is that an issue for public health? Help us clear that skepticism up.
That's a good question. True, tobacco is an addiction. Nicotine is an addiction. However, the tobacco industry has been targeting African-American communities for decades, dating back to the 50s. It's not by happenstance that we have these tobacco disparities. We did a number of studies here in our state, and we noticed that the advertising is much more prominent in African American and low income communities. Tobacco products are within reach, eye level of children. The amount of money that the tobacco industry spends, $1 million an hour just to market its products to us. So I would have to push back when people say it's a choice. I don't think it's a choice when you live in a neighborhood where all you see is tobacco advertising. You don't see healthy foods. You don't see healthy options. So it's intentional. And also just, and I think that maybe Megan can also speak to this. We know that with menthol, that it is easier to start and more difficult to quit, that the nicotine levels are very high. That makes it more addictive. We also know that African Americans tend to start smoking at a later age in life. They smoke fewer cigarettes. However, they die at higher numbers than the general population.
Hmm. Lorraine, thank you for that. And Megan, tell us more about why menthol is so dangerous.
Sure. I think Lorraine just laid out a couple really important points. And that is that, first of all, the tobacco industries have not only targeted African Americans with tobacco advertising, but they've targeted it with menthol advertising. Back in the 1950s, as she mentioned, there was only a 3 percentage point difference between menthol smoking in white smokers and African American smokers. And the tobacco industry seized on that. And Brown and Williams really jumped to promote Cools, which is a menthol brand. And the idea with menthol, right, is that it's a mint flavor, so it's a little more appealing to youth. And it also has this anesthetic property. It makes it easier to smoke. It doesn't hurt your throat as much. Again, that's why the vast majority of youth start with this product. And it was sort of advertised as this cool, clean product for a long time. People thought maybe it was safer. It's not any safer than a regular combusted cigarette. A combusted cigarette, menthol or not, has almost 7,000 chemicals in them, more than 70 of which are carcinogenic, causing cancer. And so when we have this really focused push for a specific type of product, these menthol cigarettes in the African American community, it's a big problem. And the reason it's a problem is, as Lorraine said, this is the product that they use to get people hooked. And despite the fact that African American smokers make more quit attempts, they're less likely to be successful. In fact, anyone smoking a menthol cigarette is less likely to be successful when they try to quit. So when they keep on smoking, they keep on being subject to all of the multitude of health effects from exposure to combusted tobacco products.
Megan Piper is president of the Society for Research on Nicotine and Tobacco. We're also talking with Lorraine Lathan, who is founder and president of Jump at the Sun Consultants, working with tobacco prevention for African Americans. And we're taking your call as we talk about the FDA signaling they'd like to ban menthol cigarettes and cigars. You can call 800-642-1234. What do you want to know about smoking rates and health disparities in Wisconsin? Maybe you have an experience with menthol tobacco products and want to share it with us. Now is the time at 800-642-1234. You can also email ideas@wpr.org. And Lorraine, how have menthol products really specifically been marketed to the Black community? What do we know about how that's affected Black Wisconsinites?
Well, what I can say is it has been marketed to our community in ways, unprecedented ways, in terms of the tobacco industry has paid Black political leaders, sponsors of historically Black colleges, festivals, Black-owned newspapers, and other prominent civil rights organizations. So it's difficult when you might be a civil rights organization, you're trying to make a difference in your community, and it's hard to walk away from money that you know can do good in your community. So they've co-opted our culture, and they've co-opted a number of our organizations. And this goes back years and decades. Festivals, they used to come into the community and give away tobacco products. I know a few years ago, I was actually at Summerfest and they had the cool Newport. I don't know if I'm supposed to say tobacco names, but they had a van there that was giving coupons away. So they make the products less expensive in our communities and more available in our communities.
Right, which is how we start to then tie it into the fact that menthol products are connected to health disparities, because if Black communities are targeted and more people who are Black use the products, we're going to see the effects of that.
That's correct.
Megan, Canada banned menthol smoking products. What are you looking at when it comes to our neighbors to the north to see if this is a real possibility in the United States?
Sure. So between 2016 and 2018, Canada banned menthol flavoring in cigarettes in 7 different provinces. And they did research. They looked to see what would happen. And what they found is about 60% of those smokers switched to a non-menthol product, and almost 1 in 5 smokers quit. So if there is a public health policy that could result in 1 in 5 smokers actually being able to quit smoking, I think that would be a huge health win. And again, because the vast majority of the people smoking menthols are African American, this would be a huge win for the African American community. The other issue that happened, about 20%, if anyone's doing the math along with me, they still smoke menthol in Canada, and they get those menthol cigarettes from First Nation reserves, reservations is what they call them there. And so that's something else that we're going to have to look at, some unintended consequences. However, the huge public health win of being able to not legally purchase within the United States, excluding reservations, menthol cigarettes really has a powerful potential for improving public health.
We've got Andrew in Whitewater on the line who has a question that ties into that. Hi, Andrew.
Hi there. How are you guys doing?
Good, thanks. So what's on your mind?
So my question for the guests would be what their thoughts are on what the proper role of government should be. Do you believe that government should be able to tell we, the citizens, we, the people, what we are allowed to eat, drink, or in this case, smoke? Do you think that's the proper role of government?
Andrew,
do you think that,
That it's not. Yeah, Andrew, I didn't mean to cut you off there, but we definitely got your point. And it seems to tie into what you were just talking about, Megan, because Andrew is positing this scenario about liberty, freedom versus public health. And how do you respond to Andrew?
You know, I think that this is one of these complicated situations. And, you know, we live in a land where we do have laws and rules to protect health. And we live in a country where we try to balance those things. And so what we want to do is nobody is saying you can't have cigarettes. That's not on the table. We're saying maybe we should take out an artificial flavoring that was deliberately added in to make it easier for people to smoke and thereby hook certain populations, get young people started. And so I think that what we're trying to do here is balance people's rights, as you say, to eat what they want and drink what they want, with the need to really make sure that the products that people have available to them are ones that are the least deadly.
We're discussing the FDA's plan to ban menthol smoking products with Megan Piper of the UW Center for Tobacco Research and Intervention and Lorraine Lathan, whose organization supports No Menthol Sunday, which is observed on May 16th. We'll talk about that ahead. We want to hear from you at 800-642-1234. What questions do you have about menthol cigarettes and how they've been marketed by tobacco companies over the years? What do you want to know about how they're used in Wisconsin? Give us a call at 800-642-1234. You can join in as this conversation continues on Central Time. You're listening to the Ideas Network. The FDA is looking to ban menthol smoking products. Tobacco companies are likely to challenge that. We're talking about it here on Central Time. I'm Keely Boltina. Our guests are Lorraine Lathan, who's with the Wisconsin African American Tobacco Prevention and Poverty Network, and Megan Piper, who's the president of the Society for Research on Nicotine and Tobacco. They're helping us understand what comes next. There's still a line for you in this conversation. The number is 800-642-1234. You can share your experience with menthol tobacco products, or you can ask a question about these products and the way they're marketed and used. The organization, Lorraine, that you have sponsors No Menthol Sundays. Here is Lieutenant Governor Mandela Barnes speaking in support of this event.
7,700 deaths in Wisconsin are linked to tobacco use or exposure each year, and it remains the number one cause of preventable death in the United States. But it's even more important to me as a Black man in Wisconsin because we've already faced so many significant racial disparities, and when it comes to health outcomes, it's no different. And the well-being of Black people in our state, even without the issue of smoking, is something that's prevalent and requires us to take immediate action on.
And one of those ways to take immediate action is No Menthol Sunday. Lorraine, what is that?
Thank you. So No Menthol Sunday, our organization has been involved in it for the last 6 years. It's a national movement that is sponsored by the Center for Black Health and Equity and supported in our state by the African American Tobacco Prevention Network. It's an opportunity, and we say No Menthol Sunday, which is May 16th, but there are events that occur all the entire week leading up to that Sunday. So No Menthol Sunday is an opportunity for communities of faith to come together to educate one another and their congregants on the harms of tobacco. Our theme for this year is A New Day, and this represents an opportunity to renew your commitment to help loved ones who are addicted to break that cycle of addiction. It also is an opportunity for you, if you're a smoker, to get the support that you need in order to quit smoking. So we do a number of things. We have pastors that will deliver sermons. We have spoken word poetry. We have our youth and adult coloring book. So a number of activities. And we also work with our tobacco retailers. On that day in Milwaukee, you will see participants that will have signs up that will say, in observance of No Menthol Sunday, we will not be selling mentholated tobacco products. And even last year, in the middle of the pandemic, when it just started, we had those retailers that were committed to not selling tobacco. And they used it as an opportunity to educate their customers when they came in. So there's a host of activities. We've expanded it throughout our state. This is something I forgot to mention, that it is now international. It's global. We are also working and supporting efforts in Africa and other countries as well.
You know, that struck me, this idea that you have retailers who make money from selling these products say, we're not going to sell them right now. Lorraine, what do you make of that?
That it's pretty amazing. We're excited about our partners. We started working with tobacco retailers a few years ago, and what we were hearing from the community is that there was a concern of retailers that were breaking the law by selling what we call loosies. So those are cigarettes out of the package. The state certainly can't collect taxes on those. And it's a pathway to addiction because it makes cigarette or tobacco products cheaper for young people and people, low income communities. And so it was tobacco industries that were not selling to minors, that were respecting the law, that got upset and came to us and said, we want to be a part. How can you help us? We want to be a part of your movement. And so we launched a campaign, No Singles, No Loosies, where we recognize those retailers for not selling to minors and not selling the loosies or the singles. We went back to them for No Menthol Sunday, and we said, would you support us in not selling tobacco products on May, last year was May 17th? And they agreed to. We were really surprised because they had, you know, some of them had lost income because of the pandemic. But they stuck to their commitment, and they said that one of the reasons they did it is they said that these could be our, we want our customers to live. We don't want our customers to die from these products. Some of these kids are, I see my kids in them. And so it's an opportunity for them to educate their customers on that particular day. We have some retailers that have gone beyond just that one day. So we're pretty excited to have them on board.
Lorraine Lathan leads an organization that administers the Wisconsin African American Tobacco Prevention Network. Megan Piper is the Associate Director of Research at the UW Center for Tobacco Research and Intervention. And we have a caller now who'd like to join us, Gianni in Marquette County. Hi, Gianni.
Yes, good afternoon. And a very poignant topic. I'm glad you're talking about it. I understand the addiction to menthol cigarettes. I used them several decades ago, and I was able to stop. But they are highly addictive, nicotine in general. And I'm wondering if the guest would support an overall phase out of nicotine products as a whole in the next decade. That's my first question. And my second question is, how does the United States compare with Asia in its smoking rates? We're quitting, but they seem to be increasing.
All right. Gianni, thank you so much. Megan, do you have any information about how the U.S. compares internationally?
Sure. The U.S. actually does very well compared to some of our international counterparts. And it has to do a lot with what the government is doing. So, for example, in China, the government owns the tobacco industry. So the government profits from the tobacco products sold in China. There are also cultural issues in China where cigarettes are seen as a gift. You would take a gift if you were to visit someone's house, and cigarettes are a very common gift. So there are both policy as well as cultural practices in Asia specifically that make tobacco use very prominent there.
And I think we have a pretty quick, easy yes or no question there with should we be working to ban all tobacco products if we're worried about health? Lorraine, what do you think?
Of course, I would say yes, we should. I mean, our goal is, when I think of the next generation, is to have a smoke-free generation. We want our communities, our children, and our adults to be thriving. So I personally would want to move in that direction.
And Megan, people might see this menthol ban as negatively impacting smokers. What steps do we need to take to ensure that menthol smokers aren't hurt in this process?
That is a great question, because, again, the hope here is that this is actually going to be something that helps menthol smokers, primarily by motivating them to quit smoking. Mm-hmm. And, you know, as Lorraine and others have already said, quitting smoking is incredibly difficult. It is a powerful addiction, and most folks need help to quit. But there are lots of different resources for quitting. There are lots of different medications that you can get, either over the counter or from your physician, that will help you with those cravings and withdrawal symptoms. There's lots of different ways to get coaching and support. You could talk to friends who've already gone through it. You could call the Wisconsin Tobacco Quit Line at 1-800-QUIT-NOW. They will talk to you for free. They'll actually even send you 2 weeks of nicotine replacement therapy for free, either the nicotine patches, or I believe it's the gum or the lozenges. Or you could go online. You could go to smokefree.gov, which is a website run by the National Cancer Institute. And there are also different apps, different texting programs. So my hope is that people who smoke menthol cigarettes will view this as an opportunity to make a quit attempt, and that they will use all the resources, everything that the science says will double or triple their chances of quitting.
Megan, thank you so much for being here. Also, thank you to Lorraine. Megan Piper is an associate professor in the University of Wisconsin Department of Medicine. And Lorraine Lathan is founder and president of an organization that administers the Wisconsin African American Tobacco Prevention and Poverty Network. This is Central Time.